Okay, the meeting of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District is called to order. The record reflects 6:30. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Mr. Peter Rodriguez. A veteran, a U.S. Navy veteran.
Please join me in pledging to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Mr. Chapman.
Chris Robinson.
Yep.
Chris Phillips.
Here.
Chris Robinson.
Yep.
Chris Arise.
Here. Here. I hear a motion for adoption of the agenda.
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. There'll be a 3-minute time limit. The Board of Directors may allow additional input.
Depending upon what presented, 9B.
9B, sir? Okay, Mr. Brown. We'll get to that. Anybody else? All right, very good. Public comment is closed, and we'll get to that, the 9B for Mr. Brown. Moving on to the minutes of the board. Are there any approval?
Approved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I approve except for, I think there's a typo, or at least a paragraph that could be clarified a little, specified a little better. On the first page, page 760, I'm making a statement about the Tier 2 rates, and it says is arranged, assumes no environmental and I said regulatory compliance costs. I think instead of regulatory costs, I think if it's more specific, people that might read this in the future might understand more clearly what's being said. So just put a S on costs and regulatory compliance costs.
Compliance costs.
Just add the word compliance. And it'll
very good. So noted.
We're better.
Can I get a second on the minutes? Is there a second on the minutes
second.
For a motion?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a motion, was there?
Is there a motion? A motion made by Dr. Phillips. Second by Director Urias. All in favor?
Aye.
Demands on the general account, item number 6.
President Trina, we have total demands on the account of a little over $785,000. Of note here, a couple our final payments, Fletcher Kramer and Sons on package 1A, our contractor. This includes the payout of the retention, $348,000. Moving up the line here, we have a payment of $195,000 for, in my view, which was my first observation, of a very successful high-efficiency toilet giveaway on February 5th. Waterwise did a good job of that in terms of support as well. Pacifica Services, at your last meeting, approved an amendment for the completion of package 1A. With over $32,000 being paid there. And Aqua, the JPIA, and the health insurance, a significant amount there that hits monthly. And then Council of Governments, $10,000. Those would be the other items I note here. That's it.
Very good. Do I hear a motion for approval?
Move to approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I approve except for demands number 16,048 and 16,045. Yeah, 16,048, the San Gabriel Valley Newspaper Group.
I don't think there is a 48.
Oh, sorry. I stand corrected. What I have marked here is 16073.
16073,
and that's it.
Yeah.
073. I apologize for the mistake.
Adam Consulting, sir?
Yes. Yeah.
So noted. Other than that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good. Committee reports. Committee reports are in package. I believe. Or is there any committee reports? No, no committee reports. Okay, very good.
Mr. Chairman, just out of thought here, the committee reports are always at the front, and then our regular reports are usually towards the end. Is there any way we could just put it all together, whether it's in the front or in the end? Probably at the end, because we always print this up and we just ignore it, and then we talk about it later on. You would think that all the reports would be, in every other water meeting, all the reports are labeled, but we have reports in the middle and we never do them anyway.
Mr. Chairman?
This is a procedural thing.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Yeah, I got to talk it over and figure something out.
Yeah. Sounds good. Good suggestion. All right. Moving on to action items. And the first action item is the presentation and discussion regarding Resolution 211-491, honoring and commemorating the outstanding service and accomplishments of Dr. Leon Garcia. Mr. Garcia, we have a clock for you. So why don't we go up here and get our picture taken and have the board come in.
Are we going to vote on it? Or?
Do we have to vote on it? Didn't we vote on it before?
No.
No? Okay.
Is it an action item?
Why is it an action item? Yes, it is. Do I hear a motion for approval?
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve as presented to the recognition.
Second.
Very good. All in favor?
I request a roll call vote. I'm going to dissent. I have numerous reasons for wanting to dissent. So it'll be a 4-1 vote, I guess.
4-1. 4-1. Let the record reflect. 4-1.
Okay.
All right.
I hope you have a great career here. I know you will. You've got a great bunch of people. I'd like to thank the staff. Thank you for everything you do along here. And I see you. Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the workshop regarding San Gabriel Valley Water Recycling Program. I believe we have a presentation on that. But Mr. Brown, you wanted to make a comment. You want to make it now or after? All right, very good.
That's good.
Okay, I'll walk us through this, but I'm going to get to a point here and turn it over to Raimundo. I want to take this opportunity in this workshop forum to really give you some of my initial thoughts, again, and observations, but more specific to resources planning and how that relates to our efforts with recycled water. Here's the trigger on this one, to the bottom. Can you move the chair? And it's still not working. There we go. Pie chart here illustrates a very basic profile of our supplies here in the Upper District. We benefit from about 136,000 acre feet on average. These are all numbers on average from 1990. Of course, a lot of variability over time, but that's 66% of the supplies that serve a little over 205,000 acre feet of demand here in Upper District Service Area. So if you add all of those four slices up there, that's a little over 200.
Interestingly enough, the biggest success story here is conservation, as measured by Metropolitan and other member agencies, the same methodology. Since 1990, there's been over 20,000 acre-feet, shown in the yellow slice there, or 10% of our total supply, if we think about conservation as a supply resource. 20,000 acre-feet of active conservation has been achieved since 1990. Said another way, we would be challenged with meeting another 20,000 acre-feet of demand had those investments in conservation not been so fruitful. We're very familiar with Upper District's efforts with increasing direct use recycled water. That's producing about 5,000 acre-feet a year now, or 2%, reducing that pressure on the imported water system. But over that long time period, looking back to 1990, on average, imported water has provided about 44,000 acre-feet, or 22%, of supplies used here in the Upper District. The lion's share of that is water that is directly recharged into the groundwater basin up in the canyons of the USD 3, and that supports a higher level of groundwater production that the basin otherwise on its own through natural precipitation would not be able to support. About 10,000 to 12,000 acre feet of that 44,000 is treated water served directly for consumptive use, generally out the upper feeder and the middle feeder coming from the Raymond Water Treatment Plant. So that's the basic picture. And as we take a step back and we study that pie chart, we look at that 44,000 acre feet and we ask ourselves, is there a way that we can lessen our dependence and our need and the pressure we put on that imported water system, given the stressors on that system? And the answer to that is obviously yes. As with any challenge, it comes down to money, really. And the best way to go about reducing that pressure on the imported water system. Again, not to belabor the point, we're all very familiar with our barometer of water supply health here in the valley, and that is commonly understood by all as the PWEL at Baldwin Park. It's been used since 1933 to measure the health of the basin, and we see some recent history of it here. We never want to be down near and certainly not below the red line, 200 feet mean sea level. We have been below it twice, most recently a record low in December of 2009 of a little over 189 feet. Climbing again, so we're feeling a little bit better, but that's a bit of a manic existence. And we all understand that waiting for it to rain is not a good business plan. So Upper District has been investing in the conservation, investing in the recycling. And moving forward, the question is, of course, how do we forevermore ensure that we're never down by that red line and certainly not below it? That's our job. I've talked to you about the need for the Upper District to give some time to some very rigorous thought about resources planning. I apologize for how busy this pie chart is. If you approve with my desire to move forward with the planning, you will be very tired of these pie charts by the time we're done with the effort. But you see the large blue area. I haven't changed this. This is, again, and you'll see here also that I'm emphasizing example in the title. This is just an example. It means nothing. There's no robust analysis behind it. It is just for illustrative purposes. I kept the local groundwater and surface water the same as in the previous chart. So imagine for a minute that we can just flip a switch and tomorrow turn on the most reliable, most cost-effective, lowest risk resource mix for the valley. Think of this, a good analogy is always your investment portfolio. Some stocks, some bonds, some money market funds, some international, some not. Depending on what your goals and objectives are, there are ways and means to go about getting the best return on your investment for the lowest risk, for the lowest cost, etc. Resource planning is very similar and can be adapted to that methodology. I'm going to see if there's a pointer on here that works. Bottom? Okay, there we go. Okay, so this slice is familiar. It stayed the same. This slice stayed the same. The existing conservation, 20,000 acre feet. So we've already done that. We've achieved that. This purple slice stayed the same. That's purple pipe that's in the ground that's serving recycled water direct use today. And that will continue to grow. This slice is our fourth slice from the imported water system from MWD. And it is 4,000 acre feet, not 44,000 acre feet. much lower. That's the right level? I don't know. I'm not advocating that it is. I'm simply illustrating that potentially that's possible depending upon whether or not it makes sense to make other investments in other resources. That might include a nominal water transfer, 5,000 acre feet, still imported water, but independent from the supplier liability of Metropolitan. Additional direct use. Is it conceivable that we could do another 5,000 acre feet of purple pipe? Probably. Additional recycling, advanced treatment, groundwater recharge, 5,000 acre feet. These are all 5,000 acre feet again. I'm just making up some numbers to illustrate a point here. And stormwater capture, improvements to the existing system, or perhaps distributed stormwater capture. Maybe we could do 5,000 acre feet there. So that is 20,000 acre feet right there. Here's 20,000 acre feet, additional conservation. Looks like a big number. It is a big number. But think of it in these terms, and it's very important to catch this point. In 2010, the legislature passed SB X 7, 20% conservation mandated on retail water utilities by 2020. This tie, as I mentioned, is 205,000 acre feet. 20% of that is a little over 40,000 acre feet. I'm just taking half of that mandated objective and saying, well, we were successful here. Why won't we be successful here for $300 to $500 an acre foot? So given that we have to do it, and the retail providers have to do it, and that it's economical in many cases, this is my not-so-subtle pitch for the importance of the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan, where we put our money as we invested in conservation. I assume we're successful, but only for 20,000 acre feet, but that's okay because we made these other investments in recycling, which count towards that 20% by 2020 goal, so we could pick up this slice, and this slice, another 15,000 acre feet. So we're really close to making that mandated goal. My point with this pie chart, again, completely theoretical, is that there are innumerable opportunities for the upper district to ensure the water supply reliability of the main San Diego Basin. We have choices. And it's encouraging to me that we have so many, and that I feel, from what I've observed in my short time, that they're very well within reach. And this makes the case for integrated resources planning. We have two proposals. We'll be bringing those forward to your committee, the Water Policy Committee, and the board in March. What is this? This is a plan that defines long-term objectives, sets goals by resource type based on the risk of implementing that particular resource, the cost of that resource, whether or not it fits well with the overall objectives. And it targets highly reliable supplies such as recycling or conservation. Identifies, integrates, and directs the development of supply resources so that 5 years from now, as another opportunity comes along, we look at that opportunity in the context of our integrated resources plan. Does it fit? Does it make sense? Does it help achieve the goal? Is it something that we missed that makes even more sense, and should we adjust our goals? So it gives us a pathway to stay on. And most importantly, and what I want to emphasize, it provides a process by which we seek stakeholder, principally the producers, input on these resource investments and how best to ensure water supply reliability. And we go through a series of workshops where we receive their input on costs, on ideas, et cetera, and that all comes together into that integrated resources plan. That serves as an integral foundation for rate increases for all of us out into the future. Ultimately, the producers have to pass on those retail rate increases, and they need to be able to communicate as the cost of imported water, as the cost of ensuring the valley water supply reliability increases. Why is that being done in a sound and reasoned business-like manner? At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Raimundo. We're going to dive into a little bit of detail. We're not going to spend a lot of time and give you the full meat of this. This is a few slides. life on our existing recycled water program. I felt it was important for Raimundo to start to share with you some of his initial observations of what the potential is. He's going to walk through a couple of maps here.
Mr. Chairman, before you turn it over, I have a comment on some of the slides that have occurred so far. I was wondering,
Mr. Robinson, if you would indulge me, please. Why don't we finish the presentation, please? Make notes of what your questions are. Yeah, I really would like to hear the entire presentation. Thank you, sir. Fernando.
Okay. Well, we all have copies of the presentation, so what I'll try to do is illustrate some of the over the next few slides what we have in front of us as far as the recycled water program. Just to set the stage, we currently have approximately $12 million in funding that is available to us, grant funding, via ERA funding, as well as state development loans. And there is a time frame where we need to spend those dollars. Previously, the district had planned on package 2, 3, and 4 as part of phase 2 recycled water program. What's in front of you is package 2, and the title here is extension of the existing package 2. If I can just get your attention on the red line, beginning from the south part, you see that's the big green field on the southern end of the pipeline. That red pipeline has been awarded, and our notice to proceed was delivered in January. So we actually anticipate groundbreaking occur in April. The reason for that is we're coordinating closely with a number of users and potential users for this pipeline. Moving along northerly on the alignment to Azusa, the pipe intersects line, and that's where it actually turns onto line and heads towards some of the bigger users, such as the schools that are located in phase 2 to the pipeline area there. And there's a time frame on those two schools where we did construct in June, again, so that the schools are out and coordinate activities when there's low volume of traffic in those streets. And then ultimately, the line leads over to our biggest anchor user, which is Southfield Country Club. So we're coordinating the retrofit efforts on that country club as well as the construction so that all the activities occur within the time frame. So looking at this as a backbone system, what I've asked Seth and what I've actually worked with Shane out is how do we continue to maximize the use of the system and pick up some of the remaining low-hanging fruit. So the next system that I'll bring your attention to is the purple. That was not part of the original package 2, nor was it part of package 3, nor was it part of package 4. The fact that we proposed system that we just recently have developed. But the system was to pick up some of the schools located on the Easter site. We have a number of schools that we think are within reach. We also have some of the schools on the northeastern side of the system that could also pick up, leveraging and using that existing pipeline we're putting in the ground. Right now, the contract on that red alignment does not have the sub outs for the purple portions of the pipe. So last week, I sat down with a number of our consultants, including Pacifica, Stetson, and the city staff of West Covina to plan on the system. What you have in front of you is actually the exhibit that we all agreed on. The city's moratoriums were taken into consideration, so we're planning around that. And we're also directing the existing contractor to set the stub out in planning in the future so we don't come back to the street and disturb the residents. Moving along on the next slide, I want to just kind of paint the picture of what the prior package 3 and 4 conceptual design would look like. The green represents the existing pipe that was already installed in the ground as part of the prior phases and packages. At the end of the green, northern part of the exhibit, you'll see the existing reservoir, that central north, that there is the site of our existing 2 million gallon reservoir tank. The yellow represents package 3. Now, there's a number of miles of pipeline that yellow represents. And then the purple represents the previous package 4. In reevaluating what the actual demands are, we're working closely with Burbank, closely with the city, looking at moratoriums, and looking to see what current users and proposed users we have in our plans. What we've determined is that a number of demands that were previously estimated
are far lower than we're currently looking at as far as meter reads. For that reason, we scaled back and looked at ways and opportunities to propose an alignment that maximizes the biggest users and then allows us to have dollars remaining to fund the prior slide, which is the Package 2 extension. Moving on to the next slide, in fact, I apologize, this slide should actually say proposed Package 3 and 4. Here's what we're proposing based on our recent analysis of the actual irrigation usage from the prior conceptual design. Package 4 will remain intact because it still achieves maximizing the users in that region and we still avoid all the moratoriums that the city has set. However, Package 3 has been scaled back significantly, partly because the southern end of Package 3, the users and the schools in that area have already been picked up by Roland's service area. That assumption early on in the conceptual stage assumed that those would be potential users and anchor users for the prior Package 3. That's no longer the case, so having a long stretch of pipe reaching out to the eastern part of the system within the city of Walnut no longer makes economic sense. So again, we want to take those dollars and connect and fund part of Package 2 extensions to get the schools connected and go from there. Lastly, if you notice from the prior slide, there was a reservoir proposed on the northern end. If you look at your exhibit in color orange, based on its configuration and based on the current 2 million gallon reservoir tank, I'm proposing that we can pump from the 730 zone into the 900 zone and avoid having to have another 1 million gallon reservoir tank constructed, which would just give us too much water supply for this purpose. But at the same time, it will maximize the use of our existing tank that we're constructing, partly because the DKK landfill, the prior demands that we're estimating for there are much lower, and that's going to allow us to have plenty of capacity in that reservoir. Once again, we're trying to come with a mindset of minimizing our construction and maximizing the use of water users. The next slide here, I think we can summarize here, just side-by-side comparison of what's previously planned. If you look in on the white column here, the first column, the previous column, that represents the Package 2 expansion, not planned. That's part of the next 2 years planning efforts. So I've got zero cost, zero recipe. Similarly, I have Package 3, which was revised. Original numbers represent $6.9 million in construction. That includes the new reservoir that was proposed, a pump station, and several miles of pipe. The yield for that prior package was 156 acre feet. Similarly, Package 4, in this particular case, we're not proposing any changes, but once again, the cost amount was about $4.6 million. And the revised demand based on the lower consumption that we're observing in the field is actually 150 acre feet. Now, the next column in yellow, you can see some of the proposed changes, and really you can see the yield that we're going to achieve based on the investment. On top of the Package 2 extension, going out to the schools within the service area of West Covina, we've got about $3.8 million in construction to achieve what we're estimating at 280 acre feet of yield for recycled water. Package 3 revised has now been reduced to $2.5 million. The biggest reason for that is you no longer have to construct a 1 million gallon reservoir tank. You fully utilize the existing tank and minimize construction efforts there. And then on the last package, there's no change because once again, we're proposing the prior package and we'll just have to study this a little closer. The bottom line of both of these is the last statement, there's a 5% reduction on our cost estimates from the prior packages, but we would achieve approximately a 7% increase in the yield of recycled water demand. Now that's important because that really translates to revenue to fund these projects. Once again, this is in the early stages of planning. What we want to do is really go back to some General Miner's comments on the planning efforts that need to be achieved here in our district. This would also contribute to one of the sources of the pie to continue to grow our local resources. Next slide. The other area that we want to continue to investigate within the district.
opportunities of advanced treatment technologies. There's a lot of information on this slide, but the bottom line, there's a membrane biology actor is the phrase in NDR that was focused on. It's actually a really small footprint of a treatment process that is referred to as a scalping plant or a satellite plant. We can go into these facilities north of a waste of water filtration, water reclamation plant, for example, and where we can actually size it and have a footprint that can accommodate a localized demand. For example, if there's a golf course that doesn't have any recycled water close to it, it costs too much money to build pipe to the golf course, we would look at this and investigate the feasibility of providing this type of technology to take sewer flows, treat it on the spot, and provide Title 22 recycled water for use. That again will translate to one of the areas of the pipe where we're reducing the importing needs. Some of the cities, here's an example of some of the cities that are using NDR technology, equipment technology, including the city of Corona, Captain Phoenix, or Gulf Coast, South Corona. Fresno City of Fillmore actually built a 2.5 million gallon per day facility. City of Santa Paula, Thunder Valley Casino, which is located in California. The city of Anaheim is actually building a demonstration project as we speak right now. They just broke ground on that, where they're going to build a 100,000 gallon per day facility to provide landscape irrigation use within the city hall. And then lastly, there's two more examples of the use of these types of treatment systems in Napa, California, as well as Irvine. Irvine actually has a larger system, and it really replaces the traditional large-scale footprint of recycled water processing. With that, that essentially highlights some of our early planning efforts and where we're at today.
These examples you showed, what is the acre-foot cost of the scalping produced water?
Oh, they actually vary depending on the plant.
Yeah, what's the range?
The range is actually, I don't have a number right now, but I can tell you right now the city of Anaheim is quite expensive because it's a demonstration scale project, and it is in the excess of $2,000 an acre foot. Once again, it's a demonstration project. It would have the economy of scale where you have a larger facility and larger recycled water users. So we take that into account. Now, the remaining projects, for example, the city of Fillmore, that was actually driven by the fact that they had no other resource, and they also had to treat their discharge. So it's a regulatory requirement for discharging. The only way you can do that is through process treatment of the tertiary treated water into recycled water use. I'm sorry, wastewater into recycled water use. In fact, in that project, they had to discharge their entire volume. What we did in that project, because I was involved in that, is we had subsurface percolation where we tried to discharge as much water as we could.
Can you continue? Are you done?
Yeah, this is my last slide. I apologize for inverting this. Moving on, if you change, you can go ahead and continue on the stormwater side. Yes.
Again, we will bring that back in a lot of detail. Just wanted to give you a point about that there's ample opportunities to improve the existing program as well as bring forward the notion that there is technology out there now, the membrane bioreactors, that in our situation is very attractive from an economic standpoint. Director Robinson, that GRIP, as an example, could range anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 an acre. It's a very energy-intensive project. Although smaller scale, and then the membrane bioreactor gets you away from that energy intensive footprint because you're capturing those flows, as Ramunda mentioned, higher up in the system. So it's very competitive relative to large scale groundwater recharge. I've talked about stormwater. It's raised a lot of questions. I've thought an awful lot about it. We have a tremendous asset beneath our feet. This groundwater basin has an incredible capability to absorb just a ridiculous amount of water in a very short period of time. You see that in the volatility of that key well. It'll go vertical. We saw that in December. This graph is pretty busy, and I apologize for that, but it's important. It's important, and just quickly on how to, let me back up. Can I back up? There I go. To read it over, where's my dot? Over here, you've got rainfall in inches. This is the average rainfall at four gauging stations that is actually part of the Long Beach judgment. One of those stations this year in our mind. Over here you have volumes per year in acre feet, and this is flow through, surface water flow through Whittier Narrows. So water got past us. I mentioned the Long Beach Judgment, the rainfall. All due deference to Long Beach Judgment. It's very important that we, of course, respect that judgment when we talk about stormwater. That judgment governs how much water the upper area owes to the lower area each year. I'm certainly not talking about abrogating that in any way. But let's start looking at the numbers here. The bars represent the precipitation, red on the right, and the blue line represents the flow, red on the left. We have a couple of periods here, a big flood in 1969, a couple more really strong El Nino years. Most recently, 2005, flows in excess of 500,000 acre feet through Whittier Narrows. Now, you're not going to capture all of that kind of a flow. It's just too much. It's just too volatile. But no specific engineering or engineering economics behind it. I just grabbed the 10% of that blue line, and I smoothed it over a 10-year average, and that's that red line down here. You can barely see it. It seems like it's inconsequential. It shouldn't even be shown on this axis. It's 11,791 acre-feet a year, 12,000 acre-feet a year. So if you just were able to capture just 10% of the stormwater flows that are going through Whittier Narrows today and keep it in the basin, you would have 12,000 acre feet a year. That's the point about this graph. Partnering with the Department of Public Works is a tremendous opportunity. We really need to reach out to them and work closely with them. They have several ideas that are very interesting about how to just simply improve operations and give them operational flexibility within their basin. They just recently completed such a project partnering with Water Replenishment District for a transfer pipeline between two basins they have in Whittier Narrows and in the Rio Hondo system. Those kind of opportunities are low-hanging fruit for us, and we really need to work closely with Public Works. Director Robinson, your continuing notion about Santa Fe Dam fits perfectly into this kind of a strategy. There's growing interest and real money being invested in what's called distributed stormwater capture. This is more of a multi-benefit approach. This is Elmer Avenue in Sun Valley, which is a pilot project that was developed and engineered and put in place by the Watershed Council. Bureau helped them, the City of LA helped them, and so did MWD. On the left here, you see a street and a sidewalk, and in between the street and the sidewalk, what's called a bioswale, which is an area for water to slowly percolate back into the ground. The subsurface has been excavated, and gravels have been installed, and then there's California friendly plants in there. A multi-benefit that is also a filter. So from the standpoint of the cities that are now struggling with the MS4 permits with the regional board, this kind of an investment not just only has a water supply benefit for them, it has a water quality benefit for them. Over here you see what's called an infiltration gallery. This is all coupled together with a whole neighborhood improvement project where an entire street was being renamed in Sun Valley. And they went in, and this gets to be the expensive part, they excavated the entire street and relocated utilities, etc. So you have to be careful in choosing these opportunities because that can be an extremely expensive proposition. But there are such opportunities within the San Diego Valley, and this is just an infiltration gallery. The whole engineering concept here is to slow down the stormwater flow and give it that time to percolate. All the open space and all of it, but a great deal of it is used up, and so you end up back in the street, literally, with many of the infiltration galleries. Parking lots are excellent opportunities for this. Again, just examples of, we have options. The elephant in the room. GRIP.
Yep.
There are some major next steps with GRIP. It's picking up steam. Obviously, we're part of the JPA. We did just have that first JPA meeting. very active meeting, election of officers, et cetera, a call for funding, which we're estimating to be up to $2.2 million for the next 18 months of planned work. That planned work includes the solicitation and initiation of CEQA and the preliminary engineering, continuing with the permitting, both the CDPH and the regional board, continuing with the outreach effort, which is starting to pick up steam, negotiate agreements with county sanitation for the tertiary water, something you don't need when you have an MDR plan, brine disposal, something you don't need when you have an MDR plan, land lease, and O&Ms. And then, very importantly, develop a financing plan and seek the producer's support, which is, are you going to pay for this? So this will be in front of the Water Policy Committee next week, and I'll provide a recommendation, as well as, of course, your board on March 1st. Big decision. More context for the first 9,000 acre feet for the upper area out of a total phase one cost of a little over $250 million. Our share, rough conceptual engineering estimates, is $144 million. That right now, if everything were to go well, would be construction would be completed and those outlays would be completed in 2017. That is a big nut for an agency that has never financed a that large of a project before. And it places a tremendous pressure, upward pressure, on upper districts' water rates. Mm-hmm. Stacking that kind of debt service on top of our current sales volume when, yes, it's tricky. It can be done. But soliciting the producer's support if this moves forward is going to be integral to this effort. In summary, I hope Ringwood and I have conveyed that there are many opportunities to ensure reliability for the main basin. It needs to be done, I feel very strong, it needs to be done with a diversified portfolio of investments, conservation, storage, recycling, stormwater, water transfers, water for metropolitan. In a phase three allocation, we still get roughly 20,000 to 21,000 acres a year. So that's still a portion that can be very reliable. The trick is how and when to best implement these options and which ones and how much of each. And that's what the IRP delivers for us in a participatory fashion such that all the producers and the water master understand why it is we're putting their money into a certain stormwater capture project. We're going to continue down the recycled water path, maybe just a glimpse at some of the potential with the existing program. And a diversified portfolio in economic water supply is more likely, will lead to manageable increases in the cost of imported water and also of upper district services. Next steps. The Integrated Resources Plan, I'm going to bring that to you in March, as well as the proposal on the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan. These efforts are not cheap. Roughly, we're talking about $200,000 a piece. That's the bad news. The good news is it's pennies on the dollar compared to making the wrong investment without giving this some very thorough thought. And further good news is that there are funding opportunities out there that we're currently pursuing, particularly for the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan. We can probably cut that total cost to us in half, and hopefully we'll be able to do that working with the Bureau. So this is the producer buy-in and acceptance of any changes necessary in the revenue structure. Entering into that IRP gives us an ability to take some time to do that, rather than to push really hard and get those revenue structure changes in place in anticipation of financing $144 million for GRIP. We need to stay the course on the direct use program. That is only going to continue to get better, and we'll get better at it. Identify additional opportunities for direct use, stormwater capture. I think if we get the right relationship moving with the Department of Public Works and help them and support them, we're going to be shocked at what we find and how easy it is to keep that key well up where it needs to be. And if needed, as directed by this board, and of course, as informed by an IRP, continue down the path of advanced treatment for the direct recharge as well. For example, drip, we have a timing issue, obviously, with drip. And that concludes the report.
Let me use the chairman's prerogative. Let me just make a comment here, and then we'll go to Mr. Brown and Director Robinson. You know, I commend the general manager and the assistant general manager on this presentation. I have stated throughout the process that I've had some issues with GRIP, and I think this is the direction we need to be going. I also applaud them for looking at ways for us to become more independent on Metropolitan Water District, so that we can become more independent of the Metropolitan Water District. As we have seen, we cannot rely on them for replenishment water. Now it's what, 3 out of 10 years or something that they're saying is only going to get replenishment water if that. So I applaud them for this. I think this is a great step in the right direction. So Mr. Brown, do you want to go?
All right, I'll draw your attention to page 3, bottom half, expansion of project 2. Then I would ask you to switch to 11A, which is a tax sharing revolution. It shows some of the same land on the map that the county prepared. Specifically, look forward north of, on the next page 3, the Big Lee Dream, right north of that, there's a triangle formed by the red line and a couple others, and a little green line going into it. That's the map of the tax sharing, and that project is being finally sold now on drive to the entrance. They fight that for reclaimed water. That's based on the fact there's a condominium. It's the last one that's going to be built in West Covina. Nelson Chung Pacific Development has about 4 other projects in my immediate neighborhood. They can be retrofitted along with the property along Roma that I live in. There's a whole series of condos and apartment houses in that area that would be logical to, quick as possible, like on our complex, we have 20-some suburban meters, only 2 of which serve any irrigation water brought off Azusa. And those backflow devices are already in for those, the irrigation project area. We have 11 acres of land, 5 of it's hillside. Very typical of the area in there, this whole hill area of West Covina. There's a lot of irrigation possibilities, and the switchovers can be relatively easy. So I commend the staff for extending. There's also a pipeline available under the freeway, already existing, along the Glacier Heights Water Company, north of the Country Club. There's a right way that is available, I'm pretty sure, from Glacier Heights, because they suggested it to me, that they're not interested in the pipeline anymore. They used to have wells north of the freeway. They don't anymore. And they're perfectly happy to sell us an existing Caltrans permitted pipe underneath the 10 freeway that go after schools and projects north of the 10 freeway. So, yes, it's a good idea to extend our water system under the cycle project package 2 to even beyond north of the freeway using such a pipeline. So also I think I take some blue circles to be and little areas to be reservoirs. In the hills of West Covina, there's several major canyons.
Can you wrap it up with your right. You've got almost 4 minutes.
Well, be reservoir sites for storage. And like I use Gunsha Heights, which is the area east of page 3, they've already installed tanks, and they're switched their whole water system over to no daytime pumping. They've built enough reservoirs up in the hills, so they use nothing but the cheap Edison power in the middle of the night, and that's the type of things you can use in the hills of West Covina to identify sites where you can pump the searching for fire purposes in the daytime by gravity. So, yes, we need to go after the hills of West Covina for expanded use, direct recycling use, and the expansion of the service area to both the schools and the people that have large irrigation.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Robinson, you had a comment?
Yeah, a question as well. The second pie chart had 205,000 acre feet. The DeValley's demand in 2006 was 280,000, and last year it was 240,000. So I was just curious why this pie chart is based on 205,000 acre feet instead of, I think, 240,000 acre foot pie would probably be more reasonable.
The 240,000 acre foot pie would include the San Diego Valley Municipal Water District. This pie just represents Upper District service area.
Okay. So you're saying the San Gabriel Valley, they contribute to what, about 35,000 a year to the system? Yes.
Dr. Fellow?
Well, that was my question. What I had to say was, I think our goal should, 3 years out of 10 is a minor benefit, and I think our goal should be to eliminate completely our reliance on Metropolitan Water District. Additionally, the GRIP project looks like it's pretty gold-plated. I mean, $250 million is a lot of money. I happen to know that at Cal Poly Pomona, using Prop 84 funds, they're going to construction in 30 days. They're using advanced treatment, and they've been recycling water at Cal Poly for 50, 60 years, I mean, forever. But they're putting in an advanced treatment system using Prop 84 funding, and it's only going to cost $2.5 million. It's for the use of the university, and it's probably pretty small, but heck, if you scaled that up 5 or 10 times, it'd be a lot bigger, and $25 million seems a lot more reasonable than $250 million. And I'm not going to vote for a lot of public outreach funds for the GRIP project when at this stage it seems like a pie in the sky, and I don't get too excited about $1,500 to $2,500 per acre foot water.
I think, Director, I think that's part of Shane's point, that there's the membrane bioreactors that are better alternatives.
Well, even though the price on the membrane bioreactors is $2,000 or... Could go lower to 1,200 to 2,000. That seems more reasonable, and it's worth studying. But the point I wanted to make on slide number two, I mean on page number two, slide number four, it mentions a great portfolio of potential opportunities, and what's going to determine the size of these wedges. Is, at least in my mind, is the resource investment cost versus the benefits. I mean, we're going to have to study all these options.
That's something that we have not been doing in the past, Mr. Robinson.
Well, we've sort of done it here in the past. Henry Barbosa, with a very small budget, did sort of an integrated resources plan. I mean, we bought and paid for that study about 12 months ago, and it's... we didn't call it that, but that identified things that are all on this list. I mean, but the point I wanted to make is the resource investments versus the benefit. We have to study and cost out all of these and work our way up, the cheaper things will be done first.
Your point is well taken. That's exactly what Mr. Chapman is saying to us. Dr. Pello?
I just wanted to echo what the President said. I thought this was a very good report, and I think the goals are very attainable. I do want to say I'm very happy to see something dealing with stormwater. The former councilman, this was the real problem, what to do with stormwater. And I believe there's probably money out there, and I think the city, with the cause of, would be very excited about this. Thank you.
Anybody on this side? Any comments over here?
And on the issue of stormwater.
Mr. Robinson, please.
I'd like to give other directors an opportunity.
No, you didn't hear anything yet.
They haven't even had an opportunity to.
I'd like to say something. I'm really impressed with the revisions to the packages for the recycling and how there's actually savings. We increase the amounts that we're actually going to be getting back. Brenwood, it was fantastic. So
yeah,
that's my comment. That's the kind of vision and revision we need for these projects.
I'm excited by this, the membrane, this new recycling.
Very promising for the west side of the service area towards Arcadia. Very expensive to push the direct use water.
The side.
A lot of potential.
Right, because if we're able to capture water going south and going to the ocean and treat it a couple of times and reuse it a couple of times, and this will allow us to do that, and we can use the same water two or three times as it moves towards the ocean. Any other comments on this?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Yes. Yeah. I was also heartened by the improvements of the direct use recycling ideas. I think Mr. Brown presented some additional ideas to that program, which their follow up. Every time there's a storm, the authorities like to let the first storm of the year go, but stormwater capture is very important because every time there's a storm, they close beaches, and if we can capture water upstream.
Isn't that what we're all saying? That's the same thing. I mean, you're just echoing what everybody else here is saying. Director, is there anything new you want to add to this conversation?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, if you let me finish what I'm saying, we can clean up the beaches. And what I have to add that's new is I think deals should be worked out with all the rock and gravel and sand companies to let them mine the Rio Hondo area or behind Santa Fe, take all the material they want for free, to re-operate those dams and free up more volume and more space for conservation and improve capture and improve our reliability and volume for stormwater capture. I think we should be talking to the gravel companies.
So noted. Why don't we move on to items removed from the consent calendar? Do I have any items to remove from the consent calendar?
Mr. President, I'd like to remove item C.
Item C. Item C, authorization to attend National Conference on Media Reform. Okay. All right. Anything else? We can, do I hear a motion to approve the rest of it?
Motion to approve the rest of it.
Second. Everybody signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. So item C is removed from the consent calendar. And item C, do we want to vote on item C?
Well, actually, Shane, could you explain this?
Yeah, what is this
conference? Just had some questions.
I was requested by Director Robinson, and it's noted on here. I really don't know anything about it.
Well, what I know about it is what was in our package, and I saw an ad which talked about new media and the change in the last 5 or 10 years. I really don't do much with Facebook or MySpace or any of those. I guess they call it the social internet. And I'm sort of old school, but I thought if I or other members of the board
attended this conference, we could find out. Maybe I would lose some of my bias and prejudice regarding new media. The conference, I think, cost $125. And so I guess if the board's for it, I'm for it. If the board's against it, fine. But the ad that I saw when I suggested it is different from the information. I guess the staff found additional information, but the ad that I saw was different from...
Because I was just looking at it and just like the new media, I think that's maybe something we get in-house. Don't we have already consultants that are dealing with our media?
Well,
possibly do a presentation?
But probably we could educate ourselves instead of having the staff educate us on this. Interacting with the rest of the world is instead of,
I can show you how to use them, but
is always good too.
No, it's just really questionable. It's about, it's one of the topics, mobile democracy, your phone is political. Another one, the lobby game. The fight for media justice. I don't know, it's just a little questionable.
I think this is a wonderful seminar, but I think I would like to feel that the university should pay for this, not the water board. And most of these topics there's conferences every month in Los Angeles, Public Relations, Society of America.
Right. Well, the conference is $125, but the travel would be quite expensive.
It just depends. If you book early, sometimes Southwest can get you there. I don't care, but I saw additional information, and I saw who the speakers were going to be at this conference, and they're pretty highbrow individuals. But the staff,
you have a book you can lend him on your new media.
No, but I think it's a good idea also, the use of new media. I think it would be something good for the district to be able to develop as well. I know Central Breeze is pretty up-to-date on their use of Facebook, Twitter, and I think it would be a benefit not just for directors, but also for the district. So I think it's a good idea to look into, but not through this.
Not Boston.
Okay,
I see.
Cool.
All right, then.
Fine.
I guess we'll take a vote on this then. There was a motion not to... Was there a motion? No? Okay.
No.
So then we all agree. We don't have to vote on the same. It's taken off the consent calendar.
If it's not on the consent calendar, then it's not authorized as part of the travel.
Okay.
So it doesn't need a vote.
Very good.
So all right. The general manager understands the implications of it.
Information items, press release, newspaper articles. Do we have anything, Mr. Chapman?
No.
Attorney's report.
I will be requesting a closed session on the Central Basin case, depending upon the discussion taken at the legal meeting, I think Thursday night. There has been some discussion. There was a telephone conversation with Metropolitan Water District and proposed discussions on proposed common interest and common direction on the case. So I will be... giving a report on that.
Okay. All right, and I can't wait to hear about the Baldwin Park Key Well. Mr. Engineer.
Thank you, Mr. President. After a very dry January, we are looking for rainfall for the next couple of weeks, so that's good news. And I'll keep this short. The Key Well, as of the 11th of February, was 224.7, so we are very, very close to the midpoint in the operating range between 200 and 250 the basin.
Okay. That was short.
Very short.
Okay, moving on to general manager's report.
Yeah, Mr. President, going on my full written report in your March 1st, a lot of activity. I do want to highlight the staff did an outstanding job in my view with the swelling giveaway on the 5th at Margaret Beach Elementary. It went well. It was a tight spot. It was hard to get people in and out in an orderly fashion, particularly the throughput with vehicles, but it did go well. And staff stepped right up. A lady was unable to join us, unfortunately, due to the passing of her mother. But Ruben Mayer, in particular, just was a tall soldier, and he jumped out in there and ran the thing. And I was just giving feeder rollers, and feeder accepting them willingly. So it was some teamwork and another example like the experience I had with the Water Fest, where my job was just not to screw it up. So it went very well. I do want to report. That Congressman McClintock has introduced a rider on HR 1 in Amendment 286. This is this afternoon. HR 1 is the continuing resolution that Congress is grappling with right now to fund the federal government. So they're very invested in this. There's a lot of this type of politics going on at the moment, but Amendment number 286 would eliminate Title 16 funding for the federal fiscal year 2011. So there is going to be quite a battle focused on Title 16. Congresswoman Napolitano will be engaged in that battle. We are working as of this afternoon. Peter's coordinating with AQUA, and we have a response letter drafted, and we'll be sending that out.
Okay, sir. It's obviously very important.
Yeah, very important. We do have exposure to it in our existing projects, somewhat limited exposure, fortunately, if the resolution is, or amendment is successful. But nonetheless, it certainly sets the tone moving forward for part of the new leadership.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Metropolitan Report?
Yeah, received my written report. I think the most interesting thing was, kind of innocuous, was the big debate on our auditors. We have had the same auditor for 30 years, and some of the directors came to me. They said, we'd like you to lead the charge on this. You can sway people. And we had about 100% before this by the time we voted, because I believe you should change auditors every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for transparency. We lost by 0.4, so I'm very happy that we was able to sway a number of directors, but they are going to take into consideration and put in new rules that meant that every 5 years they change auditors.
Something good came out of it.
That was about the most interesting thing. Thank
every 5 years we change.
Don't say no, man.
No, we're going to go to four on that.
Right? Yeah, that was every 3 years.
Okay.
Water Quality Authority report.
Yes, Mr. President, I wanted to add an active morning. The appointment of the committee members, there were four standing committees, and one of them was collapsed into one. So the Administrative Finance Committee, which is chaired by Norbach, has members Whitehead and Byram on that. Engineering Committee, Jim Byram is chairing. Louis Abinaga and John Leon serve on that committee. And the committee that we consolidated into one was the Legislative Committee, the other one was the Public Information Education Committee, which is now the Legislative Public Information Committee, Education just removed. I'm chairing that along with other committee members, Leon and Bob Kuhn. The other item that we discussed was the drafting of the 406 plan. It's a annual plan that the WQA puts together. Today was the adoption of the draft itself. We usually allow 20 days for public comment. We extended that to a 30-day public comment period. Basically, the plan, which is required by the agency, helps promote improvement of groundwater quality in the San Gabriel Basin. Another action that we took was with a mutual Sacramento lobbyist, the Guaco group. We usually contract with that group, but there was never an established policy of approving them. So they continue to be our lobbyists up in Sacramento. And probably one of the bigger actions that we took was the adoption of the contract for executive director. He's coming aboard, Mr. Ken Manning. He was at the Chino Basin Watermaster. Served on this board as well, serving in this seat that I have. Once we removed, will be coming in at a lower salary than he's currently making. $180,000, and I think he's probably doing about $230,000 right now. He's coming in with no car allowance. The previous executive director had about $800-$900 car allowance.
a lot of the benefits that previous executive directors have no longer are there, and he actually suggested that as well. So he's going to come in. He's very versed in, on the issues, and we look forward to him taking over March 1st. As far as committees, March is going to be a busy month. Some members are going to be absent for other conferences, and so the committees have got all switched around for the month of March. The Legislative Public Information Committee, which usually meets and will continue to meet on the first Wednesday of the month, for March, though, it will be changed for Tuesday, March 8th at 12 p.m. The committee usually meets at 1. Another change is at the Administrative Finance Committee, which regularly and will continue to meet the second Tuesday of the month, for March only, is changing it to Monday, March 14th at 9 a.m. They used to meet at 12 p.m. And the Engineering Committee will continue to meet on the second Tuesday of the month, which is March 8th at 1 p.m. And then the regular WQA meeting will be moved from March 15th to the 22nd. So March is a busy month. The committee has got all changed, but once April comes, then they'll be back on track. And that's all the report for today.
Question. Yes, sir. Yeah, Mr. Chavez, is there any initial response from the Water Quality Authority on what they're going to do with our 3-2 vote at the last meeting about curtailing your 4-year term?
I think that item came up in today's meeting.
Do you want me to answer that? Yeah, what's the answer on that?
Well, we had our legal counsel there, and maybe you could share some of the thoughts of our.
It is the continuing opinion of counsel of the Water Quality Authority that the Water Quality Authority Act is specific as to a set term of office for an appointment, and therefore has stated that they lack jurisdiction to even consider a change.
Right. They don't want to violate the law, right?
Well, I
didn't say that.
It is his contention that there is no standing in which to do it. They are going to send us a formal letter, having received the resolution, and it is our intent that upon receipt of that to take it to upper district.
Well, actually, I agree. It looked pretty clear to me at the last meeting. That's why I dissented. That's why it was a 3-2 vote. I mean, I really respect the three people that wanted to do this, and if they really believe in what they're doing, we might pass a resolution and suggest that President Obama curtail his 4-year term as well. I mean,
I can say, Director Robinson, that it was.
I think the U.S. Constitution says the president has a 4-year term, but you know.
I can say, Director Robinson, that it was not met with unanimous consent on the issue, and there was some very stern and I wouldn't say harsh, but very strong discussion over that particular issue.
Well, I agree with the Water Quality Authority's counsel.
Thank you, Councilor. Moving on to Water Master Report.
Well, at the last Water Master meeting of the 2011... It's well handled already. He doesn't need to show up. But the 2011 committees for Water Masters were established and voted on. Blaine Technical Services offered the Water Master a 6% concession this year for continuing. They're certified samplers. They sample quarterly and semi-annually. For the Baldwin Park operable unit, and so that contract was approved And it didn't go out to bid because the water master believes, and I agree, that the 6% concession was because the contract that was awarded was competitively bid originally, and then they offered a 6% concession on top of that. So the thinking was, you know, this is good enough. This is a good bargain. So the water master approved that contract as well. Do you have anything else to add?
No, you're doing a good job there.
Okay. So
The issue over water master's upper district's appointments to water master.
Oh, one other thing.
Oh, sorry.
This is a closed session item, and I can just broadly state, but there's a problem up the San Gabriel River with the suckerfish that involves the Endangered Species Act. I think most of the water interests in our area believe that we should pay attention to that, and we have an interest. So the situation with the Endangered Species Act and the suckerfish is being studied by the water master as well.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Yes, as to the issue of upper district's representation on the water master board, our resolutions indicate that until the court has approved the change in any membership representation, that the existing member continues to sit. And I did receive an email the other day that indicated the water master's plan to go either February 28th or March 28th. March 28th. So there will be a court hearing on that date.
Well, I mean, there's a court order that has my name on it, right? So
yes, and I'm only indicating that the existing board member continues to sit until the court deems otherwise.
It's easy to understand. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, moving on to director's comments. Let's start with Director Chavez.
I just hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day yesterday. It was our wedding anniversary at home, and we certainly enjoyed it.
Okay.
I attended the HET event. I just want to commend staff. It was a tremendously successful event. Unfortunately, we had to turn around hundreds of people. That just goes to show how successful this program really is, and staff has done a really great job. So just want to make that comment and look forward to having more of these events.
Very good. Nothing for you, Director? Director Robinson?
I attended the Prop 11 state redistricting committee meeting in Claremont on Friday and Saturday. The big issue on Friday, the committee wanted to award a sole source $500,000 contract to a Democrat, a consultant connected to the Democrats, and some people, including myself, spoke out against that. The board voted. It's a 14-member board, and it needed 9 votes to pass, and it got 8 votes, 8-4 with 1 abstention. So the board had to figure out Plan B, which would be to put out an RFP and do what they were going to do up until February 26th. But then there's a bidding period, and on February 26th they're going to decide which of the competitive bidders is most qualified to serve the committee. And then the following day there were community outreach workshops on the various subjects that is before that state committee, and there was quite a lot of response from the community. People showed up and spoke and testified, and I was very surprised about how energetic the committee, the public response to the committee business was. So.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. The only comment I want to make is that I'm glad that we're reaching a point where we need to make a decision on GRIP.
I think it's important, and hopefully this board will be in a position to pass a yay or nay vote very soon on our continued participation. I don't want to carry us too far on that and get us into more commitments in terms of the money issues that that's being asked of us. So I'm glad we're moving in that direction, and I commend staff for that. Future agenda items? Anybody have any future agenda items?
Well, right. Just that I'm not going to propose it, but if any other board members, if there's any traction there, if we want to try to limit President Obama's term, if we want to really get...
All right. Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Are we closed session item, sir?
No, sir. Not this evening.
No closed session item. We will resume the meeting. We were adjourned to resume next month.